are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again on another Monday edition. This is a Friday edition because the 49ers played Thursday night football on Halloween. So this is a Victory Friday episode, the first Victory Friday for the 49ers here on the program this season, and we've got a lot to get into covering everything that happened Thursday night as the 49ers narrowly escaped Arizona with a 28-25 victory. You can find this podcast on all your favorite podcast apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We are everywhere, just like all the other shows here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can hit me up on that Twitter or via email, lockedon49ers@gmail.com, and we'll get into some mailbag stuff for Monday's show since the 49ers are not playing Sunday this week, and they've got a nice, 9 days off until Monday Night Football, a very big one for the Niners against the Seattle Seahawks, November 11th. Might get some people back, too, which is huge for that game, but let's talk about this one here, 49ers over the Cardinals. And the big story here is Jimmy Garoppolo, the 49ers franchise quarterback. Yes, he's not just a game manager. He is a franchise quarterback. It's his statement game, his signature game for the 2019 season. 28 of 37 passing, 317 yards, 4 touchdown passes. A quarterback rating of 136.9. If you're a QBR guy, 95.3 QBR. 49ers only able to rush for 3.3 yards per carry. Tevin Coleman, after 4 touchdowns last week, 1.9 yards on the ground. At least Matt Breida was able to get a little something going, averaging about 5 yards per carry. He had a 31-yarder on his 15 carries for 78 yards. But Jimmy Garoppolo carrying the offense, and this was that game, and we'd seen 7 games in a row, the 49ers defense carrying the team. This is the first game the 49ers offense carried the defense, especially in the second half. The defense started opening the gates a little bit for that up-tempo Cardinals offense, and it was Jimmy Garoppolo who needed to throw for points, and he did. And if you're doing the math on that 28 of 37 passing, that's 76%, 12 of 18 with 4 touchdown passes on 3rd and 4th downs. And that's the one thing we've talked about. We've talked about it all week. We've talked about it for multiple weeks now with Jimmy Garoppolo. People say, it's too many interceptions, not enough touchdowns, not enough big plays, not getting the ball downfield, not big yardage, not carrying the offense. It's all about the running game and the defense. When is Jimmy Garoppolo going to do that? But nitpicking or not, there's one thing he has been great at this season, and that's converting third downs. And part of that is really good running game, helping out the down and distance situations. And Jimmy Garoppolo had played a winning brand of football this time, getting into the end zone 4 times and still great on those third downs. I think he was 11 of 17 and then 1 for 1 on the 4th down with 4 touchdowns on those 3rd and 4th downs. So, yeah, a fantastic game for Jimmy Garoppolo. Some of my favorite throws in the game, actually not a pass. The first one I have a note about here is the pitch to Matt Breida. When Garoppolo got his foot stepped on, no panic, falling down, a perfect pitch to Breida, who had a nice big gain. That's one of those plays that could have been dead in the water from the start when the quarterback gets his foot stepped on. He didn't just fall on the ball right there. He didn't make a bad pitch. It was perfect. It was Jimmy Garoppolo's just super cool. Like, he's that Joe Cool, right? It's like he was Joe Montana for Halloween. That 1-0 looking a little like 1-6 at times. Under control all the time. Nothing is moving too fast for him. He's been like that since he showed up. And it's one of the traits that made Joe Montana so great for the 49ers. And it was really cool to see Jimmy Garoppolo just completely under control out there, throwing with anticipation. Probably the best pass of the game. Well, at one point, my favorite pass of the game. He might have surpassed it later, but the anticipation on the 3rd quarter throw to Emmanuel Sanders. Sanders turns his head on a deep out, And the ball's there. He threw the ball 5 yards before Sanders even made his break. And the other side of that was Sanders catches it like he expects it. Turns his head and like, oh yeah, the ball's right here. I'm just going to go ahead and pull that out of the air because it's right in my stomach. Oh, it's already here. Cool. That's great. I just feel like some of the younger receivers would have been like, oh my God, the ball's here already. What's going on? He didn't have that much space on Peterson either, but it was maybe the best throw, one of the top five throws we've seen from Jimmy Garoppolo as a Niner. I put on Twitter, like, maybe this is the best throw as a Niner for Jimmy Garoppolo, and there were some other good submissions for potentially better throws than that. I think the one from Minnesota last year, the touchdown pass to Dante Pettis in the back of the end zone, that multiple people said that, and yeah, that's probably Garoppolo's best throw, but this one was pretty close, and there was another one that might have surpassed it. Later in the third quarter, showing sweet feet, stepping up in the pocket multiple times, and he had some pressure on him, stepping up in the pocket, maneuvering in the pocket, getting skinny, getting through a pass rusher, and then getting to where he can throw, sometimes without any feet involved, just all arm with that quick release, getting the ball. This particular throw over the middle to Deebo Samuel. In the fourth quarter, under pressure again, an all-arm throw completes it to Emmanuel Sanders. Just straight dealing with Jimmy Garoppolo, knowing where the hole is in the defense, throwing Sanders open between three defenders, trusting Sanders will make that catch again, and that one might even have been better than the other throw because he's under pressure the first time. I think that's why he had to get rid of it 5 steps before Sanders made his break, but this one, literally, there was someone on him, and he couldn't even step into it. They had his legs, and he just snaps that all-arm throw off. He had another one like that, too. It's pretty amazing watching him do that. Another throw in the fourth quarter, 3rd and 9, steps up, finds Ross Dwelly for a first down, and that one was the final connection that sealed the win for the 49ers, 28-25, the final score. Those were some of my favorite throws, my favorite darts that Garoppolo was tossing out there in Arizona Thursday night. I do want to move on to some other players, some other game notes here, and of course we'll give out some game balls as is tradition on the Rapid React show following a 49ers game, but some Jimmy Garoppolo stats I want to get to, including what a full season of Jimmy Garoppolo over 16 games looks like. This episode is brought to you in part by Roman. The folks at Roman, a men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to lasting longer in the bedroom. Get $10 off your first order of Swipes and free 2-day shipping at GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment, and if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find them online at gregstaxservice.com. As a true football fan, you already know, just as sure as the seasons change, Tom Brady will keep the Patriots in the game. Every weekend, our favorite gridiron warriors put their skills to the test, so why aren't you doing the same? We're almost halfway through the NFL season, so now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. If you like to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. Pick your locks for the week, put them together in one parlay bet, and when they all come out together on top, the rewards will be huge. The best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000 to bet at MyBookie. That's double your initial deposit you can use on all your favorite picks. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your first deposit. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. We now finally have 16 games of Jimmy Garoppolo as a starter for the 49ers. Last week, or earlier this week, I guess it was, I had given you his 15 games as a starter for the 49ers. Well, now he's got that 16th game. So this is what a full season of Jimmy Garoppolo looks like under Kyle Shanahan starting for the 49ers. First of all, a 14-2 record over those 16 games. And if you want to say, oh, look, the team's much better now, 8-0, but he was 6-2 with teams that could not win a game before he showed up almost exactly 2 years ago, by the way, when the 49ers traded for him at the deadline in 2017. The 49ers were 0-8 when they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo that year. They did pull out one victory. It's the only victory C.J. Beathard has ever had before Jimmy Garoppolo jumped in and went 5-0 the rest of the year. In those 16 games, 14-2 record, he's got a 94 passer rating. He's got 4,084 yards. Completion percentage, 67% or 66.9%. 25 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. So the touchdown to interception ratio, about the only mark against Jimmy Garoppolo since he's been with the 49ers, and going out and winning the game for him on Thursday. One more note, this is from Darren Stevens on Twitter, at SharksStats. Jimmy Garoppolo Thursday night had the eighth game since 1950 in which a Niners quarterback threw for 300-plus yards, had 4-plus touchdown passes, and zero interceptions. Steve Young did it three times. Jeff Garcia did it twice. Joe Montana and Elvis Gerbach each did it once. Montana the only one to throw five touchdowns in such a game. That was in 1986. So Jimmy Garoppolo becomes the eighth 49ers quarterback since 1950 to have 300-plus yards passing, four touchdowns, zero interceptions. And what about those pass catchers helping Jimmy Garoppolo out? Some drops out there as well that we'll get into. But Emmanuel Sanders, we got to start there. The connection that they've built, Garoppolo and Sanders, immediately, it's fascinating. Seven catches, 112 yards, one touchdown. By far the best outing for a wide receiver for the 49ers. And Emmanuel Sanders really in there now, entrenched as an every down starter. Last week he kind of worked in a little bit slower. Now full complement of snaps. Emmanuel Sanders is the guy. He's the number one wide receiver for the 49ers, and even had one more target. He had nine targets, seven catches. George Kittle had eight targets and had six catches. I think this might be the first game that anybody got more targets than George Kittle in the passing game, and it was awesome. It was fun to watch both those guys and the matchups that both those guys had. George Kittle had a really nice thing going on with Buda Baker, and they even caught him yelling at Buda from the bench at one point on the broadcast. And by the way, scary moment early in the game with George Kittle getting that helmet to the knee, and it was like, whoa, this is a literal Halloween nightmare movie to start out the game with. The first play for San Francisco, helmet of Chandler Jones catching Kittle in the knee with his cleats still in the ground, hyperextended, out of the medical tent though, and jogging around very quickly, and then Kittle right back in there on the next drive. The tough guy he is, and you could tell it was still bothering him a little bit later in the game, so we'll get some injury reports on that, but maybe George Kittle's one of the guys that's really glad the 49ers have 9 or 10 days off until that Monday Night Football game against the Seattle Seahawks in Week 10. But man, the knee looked fine on a couple of catch and runs from George Kittle, and he absolutely ran over Buda Baker on his way into the end zone. And I said on Twitter that George Kittle versus Buda Baker matchup was like an old school boxing match, Hagler versus Hearns or something like that. It was a really good one. It started out good, and it stayed good throughout the game. And I think Buda Baker definitely made some plays, broke up a couple of passes. He was in on a ton of tackles, just a really good player. I love Buda Baker. I have since he was in college, but I think George Kittle came out on top in that one, so that would make George Kittle Hagler to Buda Baker's Hearns, I guess. But that first touchdown for George Kittle, tying the game after The Cardinals jumped out to a 7-0 lead. That one tied it up at 7-7, and the 49ers would eventually take the lead and keep it for good in that game, although the Cardinals got very close, a little too close there at the end, within a field goal of the 49ers. But back to Emmanuel Sanders, shadowed by Patrick Peterson most of the game. And if we're doing the boxing thing, I guess Emmanuel Sanders versus Patrick Peterson was more like all of the Mike Tyson fights before Buster Douglas, because Patrick Peterson, that was not the guy I remember watching. And I haven't seen much of Patrick Peterson, suspended for the most of the early part of this season, I think for at least the first six games, right? So he's only been back a couple of weeks, but that did not look like the same 21. He was getting torched by the 49ers again and again, and mostly by Emmanuel Sanders. Maybe the best drive of the game, the 13-play drive to end the first half, ends in an Emmanuel Sanders touchdown to put the 49ers up 21-7, and really in the driver's seat of that game. And you thought at some point in the third quarter actually could become a blowout for the 49ers. But to the Cardinals and Cliff Kingsbury's credit, they pulled it back a little bit and got that thing tight at the end. But that play, that fourth down play, and actually I guess we should talk a little bit about Cliff Kingsbury's shortcomings as a head coach here. And I think you got to give him some props for his second half offensive coordinating. Coming back after an abysmal first half, 15 pass yards in the first half for Arizona, 85 total yards in the first half. But the end of half and end of game management was not great for Kingsbury. The timeout on the stop, he called a timeout right as the 49ers were snapping the ball, going for it on fourth down. They got stuffed. Then 49ers get another shot. They go for it. And then on that play, that was the Emmanuel Sanders touchdown, lined up at fullback. I love that. And he just beat the dude to the pylon. And Jimmy Garoppolo put the ball on him where it needed to be. I love that play call. And I love the guts from Kyle Shanahan. 4 seconds on the clock. Like, that was the half. They were going to get 0 points and they were going to get seven. And they got seven. He must have seen something and he didn't like the way they were lining up, or he wanted to see what they were going to do first and then call a timeout and then call another defense to combat that. But that definitely backfired on Cliff Kingsbury. And then he lost a ton of time at the end of the game, losing a timeout on a challenge right before the 2-minute warning that was obviously not going to get overturned. So I don't know if that's even on Kingsbury as much as it's somebody that's up in the booth that's telling him, yeah, we should challenge this. But that was a bad challenge at the very end there, trying to get the ball back. But and they would not get the ball back, obviously. But Cliff Kingsbury, impressed with the second half, what the Cardinals offense was able to do and able to rally a little bit against the 49ers. First half, not so much. And then those end of half, end of game management decisions from Kingsbury were definitely not great. Kendrick Bourne, second quarter, 7-yard touchdown catch, his first of the season. Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way, 5 for 5 on that drive. That's when things were really starting to roll for the 49ers offense, and you felt like, okay, I think we got something going on here with Garoppolo tonight. You could sort of tell early in that game. Debo Samuel, we got to talk about Debo, because just some really good and some really bad. False start on the opening drive. He had the bad drop at the end of the first half. Oh, man, it was such a great pass from Garoppolo, lofting it over the linebacker right into Debo's arms. It was kind of a changeup, I think, for Debo, and he jumped when he didn't need to jump. He could have just reached his hands up and grabbed the ball. It was right at his chest. Bad drop by Debo. One thing I loved, though, about that is Garoppolo, I noticed Garoppolo went up to Samuel as the half ended, after they finally ended up scoring on that drive with the Sanders touchdown. He went up to Debo as the whole team was walking off the field. I don't know what he was saying to him, but it seemed like he was saying something like, hey, man, you know, keep your head up. I'm coming back to you. And he did. The very first pass of the second half went to Debo. It was incomplete, but he came right back to him. And I loved seeing that from Garoppolo. That's some leadership right there. And that's something that's not going to show up in the stats. Maybe eventually down the road, it will help build something there with Samuel and Garoppolo, but he did come back to him, and they didn't even hit on that play, but he was there for his guy, and he was trying not to let him get down and trying to get him back on track in the second half, and I love seeing that. There was a nice little toe drag swag, though, by Debo Samuel in the second quarter, and he did have some nice runs with the ball in his hand. So not all bad from Debo Samuel, but a little bit of a rough outing for him. And Adante Pettis sighting, getting involved in the second half, a corner route beating Patrick Peterson badly. I almost think that Patrick Peterson thought it was, maybe it was a zone, or he thought he had help over the top that wasn't there. But man, Patrick Peterson got beat like a drum in that game. 21-yard touchdown pass from Garoppolo to Dante Pettis. And then one of the highlights of the game, I think, was a just perfectly timed thriller dance by Dante Pettis on Halloween to bust that out, and doing it quite well, I might add. That was a 28-14 score at that point. And you're in the third quarter. I was thinking, Garoppolo's going to throw six touchdown passes, right? Because there's a ton of time left in the third quarter at this point. But little did we know, the 49ers would not even score again. I do have a couple of notes on some Cardinals players and that Cardinals running game, which is something that's a little bit concerning for the 49ers defense, and of course give out some game balls. This episode is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Honest and straightforward, Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. They can help with any number of tax problems, including unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, and audit representation. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com. I talked about the George Kittle injury, and that will probably be something that makes him questionable throughout next week's practices, but if he was able to play on it in the game that he got hurt on that hyperextension, I wouldn't imagine that it's going to get worse or be something that keeps him out later, but they might want to keep him off of it for most of the week next week. There was one really weird one, which was Eric Armstead, who after, I think it was sometime during the first drive on defense, he got something stuck in his throat and had to leave the game. That's an odd one. That's the first time I've ever heard of an injury like that. I don't want to make fun of the injury. I guess, you know, something's caught in your throat. That could be very concerning and worrisome to the person it's happening to. You know what would have been hilarious, though? Knowing that, you know, Eric Armstead's fine, he's okay. You know what would have been hilarious if he'd have gotten a sack and he does that the move where he rubs his tummy? He'd have been like, oh no, there's something in my throat. Got some Kyler Murray gristle in there. Anyway, the most concerning injury was Quan Alexander, who left the game and was immediately ruled out the rest of the game. They said it was a chest injury originally. Looks like it could potentially be a torn pec at worst, which would mean he's probably done for the year. That would be it for Quan Alexander. We'll know more later Friday, probably, about what an MRI looks like there and what the prognosis is for Quan Alexander, but a potentially really rough injury, just as the 49ers were about to be pretty whole and get a bunch of guys back next week. On that defensive line, technique-wise, it looked like they were more in a sort of let's corral, let's contain Kyler Murray mode, more so than like let's get after him, especially later in the game after he burned him a few times with his legs. And the 49ers did have a few sacks, especially early in that game. Drake Greenlaw with one, DeForest Buckner with another, and Dee Ford with one of his trademark insta-sacks where he just completely beats a slow-footed offensive tackle just around the corner. Just, it's one of those things that you rarely see in the NFL, and Dee Ford probably has as many of those as I think anybody probably in the league the last handful of years. Von Miller, probably right there, has a bunch of them. It's bend, it's speed and burst around the corner, and man, some technique too. Maybe a little rip at the end. Make sure that offensive lineman's not getting his hands on you at the last second. But most of the win comes in the first two steps. DeForest Buckner had a really good game. A couple of tackles for a loss with the sack. Bosa, not really involved in the stat line too much, but again, playing a lot of contain against Kyler Murray. Oh, and real quick, I do want to give some props to Raheem Mostert especially, but also Tarvarius Moore. It might be the best gunner tandem in the NFL. Mostert has talked about how he wants to be known as the best ever gunner in the league, and he is really good. He's consistently the first man down there making stops on punt returns. Tarvarius Moore, though, in on multiple plays in this game, and those guys are just fast, 4-3 speed, and you can see it as gunners, and they're physical, and they're just built well to get down the field and beat their man and really harass kick returners. Marcel Harris, a nice tackle on a kickoff following that Bourne touchdown as well. But got to shout out Raheem Mostert. He's so good on special teams. The reason he ended up with the 49ers. Tarvarius Moore starting to get really good, though, as the gunner on the opposite side and really helping things out with Wisnowski, too, angling his punts. And if they are in the middle of the field, you've got those two guys coming on each side. So some really nice special teams play That's something that we don't really ever talk about here, so I did want to make a note of that. I might have to wrap this up pretty soon. I feel like I'm starting to lose my voice. I hope I'm not getting sick. Maybe it's just because it's late at night doing this. I was out trick-or-treating with the young lad, and that was a lot of fun today, so I had to watch that game after I got back, and I saw some of it live and then a lot of it recorded later, so it's pretty late recording this. Maybe I just need some tea, maybe some rest over the weekend, and I'll be good to go Monday morning, so hopefully not questionable going into week 10 of the NFL season. I do want to talk about, real quick, some bright spots for the Cardinals, some things to build on for them. Kenyon Drake, what the heck? Traded to Arizona like 3 days ago, and he looked like he'd been with the team for the entire offseason. Over 100 yards, doing damage both on the ground and through the air. Let's see, what was his final stat line? 15 carries for 110 yards, so 7.3 yards on the ground. He had that touchdown on the opening drive, and then four more catches for 52 yards. So, Kenyon Drake, that was just really weird watching him jump in and look like David Johnson. If you didn't know and you swapped their numbers, you'd think, oh yeah, David Johnson's still a beast and still a dual threat. Kenyon Drake just showing up. And that six-play, 71-yard drive, Drake had three carries for 45 yards, a 36-yarder on that first drive that ended in an Arizona 4-yard touchdown for Drake and got them up early. And I think it was a little bit of a wake-up call. And a concerning trend for the 49ers, the last couple of weeks, even in victories, have allowed their opponent to run the ball pretty well on them, and especially multiple games now with teams on their opening drive being able to run right through the 49ers defense. So definitely concerning. File that away. About to face one of the teams, I think second to the 49ers, how often they run the ball in the Seattle Seahawks. And last note here before we get to the game balls, Kyler Murray escaped pressure quite a bit. And I talked about this being one of the keys to the game and one of the ways that I thought the Cardinals could do something differently and just have something that the 49ers haven't seen yet in a tough, unique thing for them to defend against. And it's nice to have a little practice against a quarterback that can escape now that they have to go against Russell Wilson of the Seahawks, obviously, who they still have to play twice and they'll be playing next week. There was one play in particular that I loved from Kyler Murray because he kept his head down the field. It looked like he was about to scramble, but then pulls up and found an open tight end. It was incomplete, but I love the vision and the quick release, too. When you see Kyler Murray, first of all, it's shocking when you see a 5'10 quarterback just because there's not that many in the NFL. You're always looking for some 6'4 dude. So when you see a guy short, it's both biomechanically just because he's a compact person and also because he played a ton of baseball and he was a first-round draft pick by the Oakland A's. But he looks like a second baseman turning a double play sometimes with how quick his release is and how he snaps it off. And I think probably in this game with Garoppolo and Kyler Murray, maybe two of the quickest releases in the NFL right now. Both guys can really snap it off in a heartbeat. He did throw a should-have-been pick six to Fred Warner in the second quarter. Not the best game from Warner, by the way. Warner dropped that one. Murray to Keyshawn Johnson touchdown. Fourth quarter, getting Arizona back into the game, the 88-yard touchdown pass, buying some time, finding Andy Isabella, who has some speed, only his third catch of the year. Of course, it's against the 49ers. He takes an 88-yarder back after I'd finally just dropped him in this dynasty league I have. I think I just dropped him like 2 days ago to pick somebody up because it was like, okay, Andy Isabella is definitely not going to be a thing for the Cardinals here. I'm going to go find some other player that hopefully becomes something. And then, of course, boom, 88-yard touchdown pass, although still only three catches on the year for Andy Isabella. Hasn't been a big part of the offense, and that was sort of a fluke play the way it developed. But you can see the speed from Isabella. That ball just barely over the fingertips of Emmanuel Mosley. And then Isabella getting those little legs cranking and doing the rest after the catch. A nice second half bounce back, some up-tempo stuff, really got Kyler Murray going. And I talked about how the first half he only had 15 net yards passing. At the end of the game, he ended up with 241 yards passing and a pair of touchdowns. One thing that's interesting here, looking at the different quarterback rating versus QBR. So QBR is ESPN's metric for quarterbacks, and then quarterback rating obviously goes back a while, and it's the one most commonly referenced, sort of skewed a little bit toward shorter passing and higher completion percentage, whereas QBR is skewed a little bit more toward a bigger plays. And it's interesting because you look at the lines, Garoppolo, 28 of 37, 317 yards, four touchdowns. His quarterback rating, obviously good, 136.9. Kyler Murray, 17 of 24 for 240 yards. His quarterback rating almost as good, 130.7. Then you look at their QBRs and it's not even close. Jimmy Garoppolo, 95.3 and Kyler Murray, 34.9. Funny how off those two ratings are for the same quarterback in the same game. Really good rating, awful QBR, where Garoppolo's kind of go together with a really good QBR and a really good rating. And how was Garoppolo on the Peacock rating scale? Well, he was game ball good. Jimmy Garoppolo getting my first game ball for the 49ers, his signature game so far, four touchdown passes, and it was the offense carrying the defense for the first time in 2019. I want to give a couple of other game balls out because the passing game hasn't gotten a lot of game balls, and Emmanuel Sanders deserves it. Impactful from the get-go for the 49ers after making that trade. The trust he has not only for Jimmy Garoppolo and I'm sure the coaching staff, I trust the guy. The ball goes his way, you know he's going to catch it. It's just something different about the way Emmanuel Sanders runs his routes, gets open. He's where he's supposed to be. He's consistent with the catch. Pretty amazing. Just a nice veteran fit for what the 49ers needed. And you really see it now on the field and why they went after a veteran wide receiver like Sanders, already a big part of the offense. Leading receiver in this game, seven catches, 112 yards, and a touchdown. And George Kittle all over the place. So fun to watch. So great to see that that injury was not serious with that hyperextended knee. Six catches for 79 yards and the touchdown. And his touchdown not getting called back via penalty too, which was a nice added bonus there. So game balls to the passing game. Jimmy Garoppolo, Emmanuel Sanders, and George Kittle. I don't know if you want to make Jimmy Garoppolo's game ball gold-plated or something to signify how important, you know, if I was only giving away one, it would be Jimmy Garoppolo. Fantastic game there and a big win for the 49ers on Thursday, improving to a perfect 8-0 and getting a little rest before the Seattle Seahawks on Monday Night Football. All right, I'll be back Monday. We'll do a mailbag then and we'll get into, whatever topics pop up next week with some great guests as well, right here, Locked On 49ers.